Well, back in January, we started a series of lessons based upon the top religious questions asked to Google. And Google publishes that information from time to time. And so last year, they published a list of top religious questions asked. And so we took that list and decided to develop a few lessons based upon those questions. And so some of those questions that we've talked about were, what is the church? Another question was, who is God? And then other questions, what is love? Questions like that, very popular religious questions. Well, this morning, we're going to look at one. This is a popular religious question, believe it or not, but it is something that the Bible talks about. But the question is this: what is sin? What is sin? And so we'd like to look to see what the Bible has to say about this top religious question that people ask about. What is sin? And so that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. So let's open our Bibles and let's study together this question. We're going to start out in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, because out of all the verses in the Bible, this particular verse lets us know very plainly, you know, what sin is. In the older translations, it'll say something like, sin is the transgression of the law. And the newer translations, it will say, sin is lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. And so that's the particular thought that we want to think about. And the book of 1 John has a lot to say about sin. In fact, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4, John says, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. And so in thinking about sin and sinners, 1 John has a lot to say about that, because there were some people who were going around to the various churches and they were saying, oh yes, I am a Christian. Oh yes, I am a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. But then they were practicing some very evil and wicked things within their lives. And so John is writing this to say, don't listen to those people. They're deceivers, they're liars, they're coming in among you. They're saying that they are one thing, but in truth they are another thing. And so that's why he writes these things. And another verse, 1 John 2 and verse 9, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. In 1 John 3 and verse 8, it says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And so 1 John has some good things to say about those who claim one thing but then practice something else entirely. And that's why these kinds of statements are found there. And that's why we have the statement there in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 about sin and what sin is. Sin is lawlessness, as he says. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Well, that's what we're going to focus on this morning as we talk about sin. What is sin? You know, the Bible answers this question in a number of different passages, not just this one, but in several. But we have this passage, 1 John 3 and verse 4, and then another passage. The Bible talks about sin being a violation of our conscience. And then we'll talk about what that means. And then the Bible also talks about sin being something that we leave undone that we ought to do or that we should do. And so we'll talk about that. So we're going to look at three different things the Bible says about sin this morning. First of all, sin is lawlessness. And that's what we want to focus on. Sin is lawlessness for a few moments here. What does that mean, the word lawlessness? Well, the word that is translated sin in the original Greek language, it's the word hamartia. And it originally meant to miss the mark. And so when an archer would draw a bow and he would aim at a target and release that bow, and that bow, that arrow would fly through the air and then it would miss the target, or it would come, you know, not in the middle of the target, but on the outside of the target or something like that. The judgment for that kind of aim, I guess, would be that they had committed hamartia. That is, they had missed the mark. And what they were aiming for, they didn't get it. And so that's the idea between the word of the word hamartia, to miss the mark. Now, it means basically to land outside of that which is authorized, or that which is given as the scope of good marksmanship or something like that. And so gradually the idea changed over time, and it started to be applied in a moral sense. You know, well, when he did that, you know, he missed it. Or when he did this, he really didn't do right. You know, that was the idea behind the word. And so John gives it to us here in 1 John 3 and verse 4, and he says that sin is lawlessness. And you know, the word lawlessness means without law. And sometimes we use the word iniquity. And a lot of times the word iniquity means it has relationship to the word inequity. But it's the idea of not being just, not being right, not dealing with people in a good way. In Matthew 7 verse 23, Jesus said, "I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." And in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, we read, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" So this idea of lawlessness, it's the notion that I'm going to do whatever I want to do, regardless of what God says, regardless of what the standard of right and wrong is. I will be a law to myself. I will be lawless. I won't have a law for me. And that means that I can do whatever I want to do. And that's the conclusion that a lot of people draw in this world regarding their behavior and regarding how they comport themselves among others within the world, right? They just go along and do whatever they want to do, and they don't think about the consequences to others. Well, Jesus said here in Matthew 7, verse 23, that's not going to be who makes it into heaven. That's not going to be the kind of person who is going to be saved. And Paul in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 makes it clear that that's not the kind of person who is going to be in fellowship with the church. A lawless person. A person who doesn't see themselves as needing to conform to God's standard of right and wrong. And you see, we need to be the kind of people who say, you know what, I'm not going to live like that. I'm going to respect God's will. I'm going to respect His word. And I'm going to do what He says. And I'm not going to live in a lawless way. As we continue looking at some passages that talk about that in Matthew 13 verses 41 through 42, Jesus is talking about what will happen when He returns, and He says, "The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend all those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." And so the lawless are the ones who are then going to be separated eternally from God and from God's people. And they will be punished eternally. Why? Because they didn't see themselves as having need of obeying God or following His will or conforming to some divine standard. And somebody says, well, all of us are lawless. We all sin. Well, the attitude of the Christian, though, is different. The attitude of the Christian is, you know, I am going to abide by God's law. I'm going to live within His standards. I'm going to respect what He says. That's the desire. The lawless person says, no, I don't need to do that. I can do whatever I want. No one else can tell me how to live my life. No one can tell me what to do. You see, that's a very different attitude. And that's why Jesus can redeem those who desire to be lawful. He can redeem them because they understand that they need to conform to a standard of right and wrong. And so in Titus 2 and verse 14, we see that Jesus gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous of good work. Not so we can continue to be lawless, but that so we can be lawful. Because that's what we want to be. We want to be lawful. Hebrews 8 and verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. And so that's for those who desire to be forgiven, who desire to live within the law, who desire to please God. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Romans chapter 4 and verse 7. So lawlessness can be forgiven, but we've got to come out of that mindset of I can live however I want, do whatever I want, make my own decisions, live my own life, you know, and no one else is going to tell me what to do. We've got to come out of that mindset, and we've got to come into the mindset of, you know what, instead of living like that, I'm going to obey God's word. I'm going to live within the confines of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to seek to serve others. I'm going to humble myself before others. Others can tell me what to do in many ways. And I'm going to try to live a life that's humble before the Lord. And so that's the difference. Those two mindsets are the difference between the lost and between the saved. And so what is sin? Sin is lawlessness, first of all. But then secondly, sin is violating your conscience. Every single person has a conscience. A conscience is that which regulates right and wrong within our lives. And sometimes when we do things that are wrong, then our conscience will bother us and our conscience will tell us, you should not have done that. And we'll feel guilty because of something that we've done that we believe we should not have done. And so the conscience is a regulator. The conscience also tells us when we do what is right and good. And it praises us for doing what is right and good. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul defined the conscience. He said, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. So the conscience either accuses us when we do something that's wrong, or it excuses us when we do something that's right. If we'll listen to our conscience, and our conscience can tell us good things, and our conscience can tell us when we're doing bad things. And Paul always sought to have a good conscience. Acts 24 and verse 16. He says, this being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. So our conscience works based on a standard as well. Now the conscience is not the ultimate standard. It's not the final standard of right and wrong, but it is something that God has created us with to help us based upon the standard that we accept. So the Apostle Paul is a good example of someone with a good conscience. You know, he was wrong when he was persecuting the church, but his conscience told him that he was right because his conscience was based upon a different standard, the standard of Judaism under the Old Testament, all right? But when Jesus Christ appeared to him and said, I am Jesus Christ whom you're persecuting, and the Apostle Paul learned the truth, he changed his standard. He changed his standard from the Mosaic Law to Jesus Christ. And now, and then he stopped persecuting Christians, you see. He stopped doing what was objectively wrong. and he changed his standard for right and wrong. And then his conscience started approving him for preaching the gospel and going out and telling others about Jesus Christ at that point, okay? Now, before that point, his conscience was based on a wrong standard. But after that point, it was based on the right standard. But the conscience doesn't give us the standard. The conscience just tells us whether or not we are following the standard that we think is the right standard. That's all it does. But look, even when we don't follow our conscience, whether it's based on a right standard or a wrong standard, it's a sin to violate our conscience. Because the conscience is supposed to help us do what is right. And so when we violate the conscience, we're basically saying, I don't care about doing what is right. I don't care about doing good things. And it's falling back to that position of lawlessness. And so that's why it's always a sin to violate one's conscience. So think about passages such as Romans chapter 13, verse 5. Therefore, you must be subject, and that is to the higher authorities, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Because most people's consciences believe that they should obey the law, more or less. And so if we are to violate the law, then that is going to violate our conscience as well. Romans 14, verse 23, that context is talking about where people eat something that they believe is wrong for them to eat. If they do that, they violate their conscience because their conscience is telling them, don't eat these things that are wrong for you to eat. And so when they eat it, they violate their conscience. And Paul says, if you violate your conscience, you sin. So that's what he says, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. That is, if we can't do something with the belief that we're doing it right, then we shouldn't do it. We should avoid doing things that we believe are wrong. And that's what he's talking about there in Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. And so we commit sin when we deliberately ignore our conscience. But we also, if we continue to violate our conscience, we will incur consequences on our conscience. Our conscience will stop functioning like it's supposed to function. In 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 12, it says, but when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. And so one of the consequences of not listening to our conscience is we offend other people who are trying to do what's right, and Christ is offended because of that. Christ doesn't want us to so act in such a way that we sin against other people by causing them to violate their conscience. Whether we believe that what they believe is right or not doesn't matter. It's what they believe about their conscience. And if we cause them to violate their conscience, we sin against them and we sin against Christ. But then we can so violate our conscience to sear it, to make it non-functioning, to make it dead. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, where Paul says that there were some who spoke lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What happens when you sear something with a hot iron? You deaden it. The nerves become dead and they're useless. And the conscience will be useless. If we just keep on sinning and sinning and sinning against our conscience, eventually the conscience is going to stop working. It's not going to say this is wrong anymore. And we'll find ourselves in a position of being very lawless people. Titus 1 verse 15, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. And so the conscience ceases to work. And so when we think about sin, one of the definitions the Bible gives us is that sin is a violation of our conscience. But then third, sin is leaving things undone that we ought to do. And that is when we come across a situation, we see something that we need to do, something that's right, we know we need to do it, and we say, you know what, I'm not going to do that. We leave it undone. And in James chapter 4, verse 12, that's exactly what the Bible says. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. And so not only is sin something that can be done, you know, an act of some sort or a word that someone might say, but sin is also something that can be neglected. You know, the sin of, you have the sin of commission, but you also have sins of omission. You know, leaving undone something that ought to be done. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, that's part of the sin that was committed by the people there, because although they knew God, you see, they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their hearts, or empty in their hearts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So they knew God, but they did not act on that knowledge. They did not glorify God. They should have glorified God, but they did not glorify God. They left that undone, and therefore their thoughts became empty. They became vain. They became futile, and their hearts became dark. And why is that? All because they left undone the act of glorifying God. They knew to do something, but they did not do it. When we leave things undone, we sin against God. This can translate to the sin of sloth. For example, someone who is lazy and does not do what needs to be done. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 9 says. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, we're exhorted not to be lagging in diligence, but to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And so we need to avoid the sin of sloth. And this can also translate into hiding our talents. That is, having the ability to do something and yet not acting on that ability. So, for example, in Matthew 25 and verse 26, there in the parable of the talents, Jesus says to that servant that buried his talent, right, and didn't do anything with it, he said, the Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed." And so his end then was to be cast out because he did not exercise his abilities. He knew that something good should have been done, but then he did not do it. And Proverbs 15 verse 19 says, "The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway." And what's the difference between those two? One is very difficult to traverse, and the other is very easy to traverse. And you see, doing what is good makes all the difference in our lives sometimes between having a difficult life and having an easy life. If we will just buckle under and do what is right, then our life will go a lot easier and better. But when we refuse to do what is good, we're going to have a rough time of it. Why? Because we're just allowing all the thorns to grow up in our path and we're not doing anything about it. And that is the way of difficulty and problem. And it is sin, the Bible says. All right, so there's three answers to the question, what is sin according to the Bible? First of all, sin is lawlessness. It's saying, I'm not going to obey any law. I'm not going to have any standard. I'm going to be a law to myself, live however I want, do whatever I want. No one else can tell me what to do. That attitude is lawlessness, and that attitude is sinful. Sin is also violating one's conscience. It's saying, when our conscience says, no, you shouldn't do that, oh, I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care. That's a bad attitude. That is the wrong attitude, and that is a sinful attitude. And then third, it's leaving undone what should be done. Here is a good thing that I see that needs to be done. Oh, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to go do something else and leave it undone. Could be many things. Could be the sin of sloth. Could be the sin of not using my talents. It could be, you know, helping someone who needs help. Could be many things. But when I leave undone something that I know I should do, I sin against God. So sin is leaving undone what should be done. Now, Jesus Christ has helped us by giving us, number one, a standard to follow, and that brings us out of lawlessness. Jesus Christ has helped us by setting that standard so that our conscience then knows what is right and what is wrong. And Jesus Christ has helped us by giving us positive things to do within our lives and by not leaving us without a good work to do. And so Jesus has addressed all these areas of sin, and he even says, you know, if you will come to me and obey the plan that I have for your salvation, then you can be forgiven of sins. And of course, Jesus died on the cross that we might be redeemed from all lawlessness and unrighteousness, as we read earlier in Titus chapter 1 or Titus chapter 2. And in doing that, then, he gives us a path forward out of sin. And so if your life is like that life of thorns and hedges and having a way that's very difficult to traverse, and you're thinking, you know, maybe I need to come out of that attitude of sin, of wanting to do things my own way all the time, and I need to start giving my life to Jesus, then this morning you can make a change by hearing his word and believing it, confessing him as Lord, repenting of your sins, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. You can make a new start, and you can be a child of God, and Jesus Christ will forgive you, and you can start on your way toward, and now you will have a standard, you see, the standard of Jesus Christ and his word, the standard up for your conscience, and a positive command to do what is right within your life, so you won't leave undone things that need to be done. And maybe you'd like to set your life in order this morning to do that. If you'd like to do that, we're ready to help you. Or maybe as a Christian, you need prayers to get back on that right path. Maybe you've let the weeds grow up. Maybe you let the thorns grow up. And now you're like, ah, you know what? I need to get those out of the way so I can have that clear path. And now you want to rededicate yourself to Christ. We can help you with that this morning through prayer. You can be forgiven and you can start once again. And so whatever your need may be, we invite you to make it known now while together we stand and while we sing.